This is David Marler, UFO researcher, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Folks, at the start of this year, I got a bit of a health scare, and it kick-started me to getting fitter, healthier, and generally looking after myself better. A healthier breakfast was high on my priority list, and it should be for you too. Magic Spoon is the perfect way to get in your morning protein, eating cereal that tastes like it did when you were a kid, without all the bad stuff. I can promise you there is nothing unidentified in this cereal. The variety pack has four flavours, including cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs. There are only 140 calories per serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. It's delicious but super healthy cereal that really brings joy to your mornings, afternoons, or actually any time of day. Go to magicspoon.com/thatufo to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code THATUFO at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee, so if for any reason you don't like it, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/thatUFO and use that code THATUFO to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me on the podcast are the owners of the International UFO Congress for 2022, its 31st year. I have Alejandro Rojas and Karen Brard. Welcome both of you to the podcast.
Hello, thanks.
Hello, glad to be here.
Good to have you both on. Alejandro, personally, it's the first time I've got to speak to you as well as Karen, but I used to listen to Open Minds back in the day and long before I had ideas of even starting my own podcast. So thanks for trailblazing the way, as I'm sure you have. Great. For many, many others.
My pleasure. It's always wonderful to hear from people who enjoyed the podcast.
Absolutely. I remember your chats with yourself and Martin Willis used to be my go-to when my wife would have her reality TV on in the background. I would put the headphones in, so it was a saving grace, I promise you.
It was reality TV to me.
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose it was
right over,
yeah,
across the way.
Listen, I wish my wife was as understanding as you are about the UFO topic, Karen. You really got yourself involved, as we're about to discuss, and I believe this is your sixth year, Karen, owning the event. Is that right?
Yeah, since 2017, and we had a live event in 2018 and 2019, and then COVID struck. So the last 2 years, it's been online only. So this is our first venture back out into, you know, a live event, and we did wait quite a while, and I did want to get one in this year so it could be an annual event. So we just didn't have as much time to prepare this year because I just wanted to make sure COVID was, you know, out of the way for the most part. So we're doing another one. So we only have a couple weeks to go.
Well, that's going to be special, having everyone back in person. And it was great when I remember doing some promotion last year for Contact in the Desert. And again, it was virtual and you've got all these great speakers and a lot of these events went online. But you do miss that human element, don't you? Even if you're watching it virtually because you can't travel from around the globe, just to see an audience in the room helps with the atmosphere and, you know, just that uniqueness of the event. So that must be something you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, it is nice to, you know, be able to see your friends, give them a hug. But the good thing about our virtual conference is we do have an app. It's called Whova. And in that app, it allows you to interact with everybody that's either there in person or at home. So you can chat with each other. You can even do little virtual meetups and meet people on camera. So there's a lot. It makes it a little bit better, you know, a little bit closer to being there.
Well, that's awesome. Alejandro, let me ask first off, how are those preparations coming along then? Like Karen says, we're in our final weeks now before the event.
She would know better. I'm focused on other stuff, but helping her as I can. But it sounds like it's coming along well.
Yeah, we have all our speakers booked. They're very excited, and it's coming along. We've got some great events in there too, along with our banquets and our film festival. We're having a trivia night, and for the first time, we're having a Halloween costume party. So a lot of fun events for people to do. And it has a great bar and an outdoor swimming pool. And it still would be warm here, so you could still swim here. And a great big jacuzzi, too. So it's going to be fun. It's a new event, a new venue for this event this year. It's very pretty, and I think people really enjoy it.
Well, the venue, and I'll get this correct, is the Sheraton at Wrigleyville West. The event's being held in Phoenix, Arizona from the 12th to the 16th of October.
Actually, it's Mesa, Arizona. So it's the Sheraton at Mesa Hotel.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Not knowing the area, I take it that's important because people will just travel to Phoenix and they're going to be some ways away from it. I'm sure it's a big area. So yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to put all the details within the link to the podcast as well, folks. If you are planning on attending, you can click on that and check out the website ufocongress.com as well for that information. You mentioned importantly the guests, and that's what people are largely going to be going there for, other than the meetups and meeting new people with those common interests in the UFO subject. So let's get to the guests. Do you want to give a rundown of some of those speaking?
Sure. You can help me if I forget any. We're having Ben Hansen of UFO Witness. He's a good friend of ours, and also has a show. The UFO Witness show. But he's also a friend of ours who used to be in the FBI, and he's very interested in this whole subject. He's been doing it for about 10 years. And he's going to share something new that he's done. He just finished his master's, and his thesis was on preparedness, what would happen, what would be the impact of an outside extraterrestrial visitation or attack from another place. So that's part of his thesis was on that for preparedness. Let's see, who else do we have?
Do you have a list there? I'm not.
Well, we have James Fox, and he's going to be doing a screening of his new film, The Moment of Contact, and that's about the Brazil, how do you say that?
Virginia.
Virginia.
Or yes. Virginia, I think
yes.
They say.
Yeah.
About that, when there was supposedly a landing of some craft,
yeah,
and
so
some beings came out.
A sighting, and some kids saw a being, which the fire, local fire came and picked up. And allegedly, the fireman who held the thing died of radiation poisoning eventually. So I guess he's been able to talk to firsthand witnesses to verify this story. So it ought to be an interesting movie.
I'll just say I've got an advanced screening of Moment of Contact, and I won't be saying anything about it till after it's come out. But I'm sure people are going to enjoy that ahead of time. But that's all I'll say for now.
Cool.
Okay. Also, Micah Hanks. He's a friend of ours from North Carolina. He's a researcher, and he's written a couple books. He's part of The Debrief, which is a online news, UFO news podcast and site for news and written journalism as well. David, you want to talk about David Marler?
Oh, yeah. David Marler, one of my favorite researchers. David is going to be talking about a very... So he ran across some cases. Of course, he's a very kind of conservative researcher, kind of like I am, nuts and bolts type of stuff. But one of the things he's going to be talking about is these cases he ran across with physical effects. So,
and he's also going to mostly talk about his archive and the importance of historical research. He's got one of the biggest collections of UFO artifacts in the world.
He does, and I remember he had just acquired that. Yeah, when I interviewed David last year, and he just got a hold of the archive at the time and was digitizing it, which is no mean feat. So that's what I'm very much looking forward to. Yep.
Yeah, and then we have Dr. Michael Masters. He's actually a biological anthropologist from Montana Tech, and he's written a second book about along the theory that the aliens that people have reported seeing and maybe being abducted by could be humans that have traveled back from the future, and they're coming back to check us out and do research and see how maybe they could avoid becoming like they are. So he's going to join us for the second time, and he's a great speaker.
Yes, and that's the extraterrestrial model, I believe, is the book.
Yes,
we spoke
exactly.
To Dr. Masters about that a few months ago. So always a great speaker, lovely guy as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yvonne Smith, she will be doing a talk about what she does, which is she does regression hypnosis for people who have been abducted. So she's going to talk about that and actually have a couple of witnesses come on and talk about their experience. She joins us every year. And as well, she leads the experiencer groups, which if you're here in person, we have groups where if you want to come and share a story or just come and listen to other people's stories of encounters, you're free to do that. And it's in a private, anonymous, or not anonymous, but just the word I want. When you can't tell anybody.
Just like
confidential.
Yeah, not recorded, anything like that. So yeah, safe space for people to talk and share their experiences. So she leads those as well.
That sounds awesome. And all of those guests you've mentioned, except Yvonne, I've interviewed on the podcast. If people want to hear a little bit about those backgrounds, you can go and check those interviews out. But Yvonne is certainly a name I've just written down to have a chat with as well, because that sounds very interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Another speaker, of course, will be Bryce Zabel. His podcast with Ross Coulthart, Need to Know, has become very popular. So we've had, in fact, I think we're one of the first people to have Bryce at the International UFO Congress when we were running it with Open Minds. And he's, always very entertaining. So he is a key point pro. So he always has very exciting PowerPoints that he does. So, it'll be really interesting to talk to him because of course he's been up to date on all the latest news and has an interesting perspective.
He's a director, a writer. He's got things coming out, a movie that's going to get filmed next year in Europe. So he's really excited about that. And then our next speaker, I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. John Ramirez, he served from 1984 to 2009 in the CIA Directorate of Science and Technology, the Directorate of Intelligence, and the ODNI National Counterproliferation Center. And he was working in the He was the chief of electronic intelligence analysis branch and the electronic intelligence laboratory at the CIA during a period when the intelligence community was investigating the light orb phenomena in the years preceding OSAP. So that's pretty exciting that he's going to share with us what he experienced and what he was studying there that has, to my knowledge, not anything that's really been out in the public yet.
And then he's also going to give some insight on recent legislation that, of course, is really exciting as far as, pending legislation by the Congress. He's going to kind of give his own take on all of that, which ought to be great.
John's a wonderful speaker. And again, he's been on the podcast. And when he's done any of the podcasts he's been on, he draws a fantastic audience to it. And he's just a great character. People love to listen to him. And Karen, you read out just some of his background there. And it's fascinating just the departments he's worked in and the projects he's also been involved in as well. Let me ask, because there's a whole load more speakers attached to that, and I would encourage folks to go to ufocongress.com to check those out as well. But just looking at some of those names, I'll name Travis Walton, Brian Bender, James Fox, Ben Hansen, just to name a few. It shows a real mix of backgrounds and personalities. And I think that change is now happening in these sorts of events. Did you feel it time to reflect the changing audience in the UFO subject, moving away from a very similar conversation to journalists, scientists, directors, and others like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm a board member for the Scientific Coalition for UAP Research, and that's the world that I've been living in, is working with scientists, you know, people from DC, whether that be government or politicians. And a lot of mainstream people that are getting into this topic. And so it is a brand new venue, and they bring something totally different, but in some ways a little bit the same. And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, John Ramirez is giving us insight that we didn't have previously, you know, as a government insider, but he's talking about topics that are kind of strange that, you know, and things we haven't heard about before. So like this program where they looked into these orbs, or, you know, his professional insight into the secrecy and, you know, this bill and what it means. There's a lot of nuance, and I think that gets lost. I was in a Twitter debate yesterday where it's kind of, you know, the debate is this real? Isn't this real? Well, typically that's not enough. The conversation has a lot more components to it than just that. So it's much more complicated than just saying A or B. And you need to get into those details in order to be effective in pushing the issue forward, or, you know, understanding the nuance to be able to maneuver and navigate around some of these complicated institutions that are now getting involved that weren't involved previously. So I think that's where I get frustrated. It's like, no, guys, this is a lot more complicated than that. You know, we need to know how to play the game if we're going to play the game. You don't just pick up the football and run and get a touchdown, game over. It's a lot more complicated than that. So that's what I think is wonderful. Brian Bender, you know, always, he's very embedded in the industrial defense complex. Mm-hmm. You know, he spends all of his time in DC or at these conventions, hanging out with generals. And
he knows everyone.
Yeah, he knows it's everyone. Crazy. The
he
exact
talk,
type
he can
of
just call
people.
Up a senator if he has a question. It's so great.
So being able to hear from him, kind of the inside baseball, what he's hearing, how people are really reacting to this, I think is really important. And a lot of the UFO community shuts that out because they think they know, but they know nothing. You know, if you're not mm-hmm. in that environment on a regular basis, like some of these people coming out and talking, you know, you really don't know that nuance. So we need to humble ourselves a lot of times and sit down and listen to these people that are coming out of the woodwork right now, because they're going to be able to guide us to have more success than we've had in the past. And the success that we've gotten to date are exact those kind of people like Chris Mellon, who, you know, have worked in those environments and knew how to navigate all of this and is doing that currently. You know, those are the people we need to listen to and take their lead from.
Right. Because I mean, if it wasn't for Brian Bender, who actually had an article on the same day as the New York Times, by the way, people don't always know that. If it wasn't for people like them, these stories wouldn't have come out. And Brian keeps coming out with stories. In fact, I think one of his stories that he was asking, hey, what's going to happen? This deadline's coming up. Like the very next day, they've set the date for a hearing in public. And I think it had to do with Brian's article. He's kind of pushing pushing this along as well. I think that they really were like, oh, crap, Politico's calling us out. What are we going to say? We have a deadline to do something. So they had a hearing. So, I mean, that's great, too. And other journalists, I think, are getting on board and they're seeing that they're getting so much attention that they want to be part of this and they can now without being ridiculed and being taken seriously. So that's great. And as a matter of fact, Brian's working on having maybe a special thing happen at the conference if we can get it going. So that'll be something new and from some government official. So we're working on that.
Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Day to day, life comes at you fast, and like anyone, I can get stuck focusing on problems rather than looking for solutions. Whether that's in my professional 9-to-5, on the podcast, or even just as a parent. It can be tough to train your brain to think differently, but it is possible. There is no better time to start making a change than today, and when you finally learn to find your own solutions, there is no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish those goals you've been struggling to. For many, using BetterHelp has allowed them to unload stress, heal emotional scars, or even help with anxiety and depression. For me, the flexibility of being able to access online help through messaging on the app or even voice or video calls is a win, not to mention it's convenient and affordable. All you need to do is fill in a very brief survey and BetterHelp will match you with a therapist that suits your needs. You can of course swap your therapist at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/thatUFO today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/thatUFO. It's been a tough few years for many of us, juggling a lot that life has thrown our way. As someone with a young family, finances have never been more important, especially with the soaring cost of living day to day. That's where credit.com can help. There is a way you can begin to take back some control of your financial situation. Extra Credit is a product from credit.com that gives you unmatched credit coverage. You might have checked your credit score on a free app, then when trying to make a purchase on credit, like a car, found it wasn't quite what you expected. Extra Credit from credit.com gives you access to all 28 FICO scores to see exactly what lenders will see. Extra Credit not only gives you access to those 28 FICO scores, but also helps guard your identity with $1 million ID insurance, dark web scans, and data breach alerts. Plus, you can get cash rewards for selecting personalized offers. As someone who, as a student, racked up a lot of debt, I can relate to having to rebuild my credit score as an adult. There's no better better time to do this than now. The past can't be changed, but you can begin to rebuild your future today. To sign up for extra credit, go to credit.com/thatUFO and get started there. To sweeten the deal, you can even get the first 7 days absolutely free. It's just $24.99 plus tax a month after the free trial. You can cancel any time. So go check out extra credit today and start working on your credit goals. That is exciting. And I would ask, again, with those names and like you've both said, do you expect a different set of eyes to be on events like this from the outside? Do you expect parts of the mainstream media, journalists, politicians on, you know, potentially from the UK, the US, to be looking at events like this with those kinds of serious names attached?
Well, we do know that they looked at the last SCU conference. Why don't you tell them about that?
Well, to answer your question, I think that journalists, at least we've always had a great relationship with local journalists and some international journalists. Me in particular, The Sun, I know them quite a bit. They show up at a lot of events and follow us. And so, I mean, they'll be showing up, but I don't think they typically get in the weeds so much. So they don't know what to expect. I think that they see that there's more credible stuff, so maybe they're a little more excited, but I think they come with a very open mind. That's why it's very important to provide journalists with credible information. A lot of people in this field think there's a conspiracy, and we wonder, you know, hey, when we brought you that experiencer, why didn't you cover that and take us seriously? That's too much for them, you know? That's difficult for them to take something like that seriously without them feeling like they're hurting their credibility, which is important to them. So you need the baby steps. You need to have them talk to the Ramirez's, the Benders, the people that speak their language and bring more credibility to the story, and then they'll cover it in a straight way. So I think it'll benefit in that we have more of those types there that to speak to them, and I think that helps and takes things a long way. But then, you know, and some of these people, like even Ramirez, gets pretty fringe. He does state, now these are my personal beliefs. I don't know, I can't prove them. And he'll go on to say, I think he even talks about Roswell and other things. So I think that's really eye-opening for the media, and that allows them a little more to be able to talk to that. But what she was mentioning at the SCU is that it really felt more like a defense government kind of, you know, conference, in that, you know, you go to these defense conferences and you have corporations and you have nonprofits, NGOs, working with government agencies. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we had. We had representatives from Space Force, mm-hmm. other representatives from intelligence, people who formerly worked on these intelligence programs on this topic. And of course, SCU is made up of people like Eric mm-hmm. Davis and Hal Puthoff and Travis Taylor, who are these scientists who are already kind of, we know, working on these government programs. So it's definitely at another level, where now it's kind of more of that agencies intermingling and talking with our scientists. And what's most exciting is that those conversations now can result in some action, some actual organization and some work and some funds being given from the government on taking action on some of these items.
And I just want to add, at that conference, it's very exhilarating to be around other really intelligent people, scientists who've seen this evidence firsthand and are so open-minded and willing to listen and talk about things on a serious level.
Are you finding it now in 2022 easier to attract those types of people to come to events like this and be speakers?
Well, everybody, I mean, we've never had any trouble getting speakers, for sure. Well, like you're saying, there's still some speakers that want to speak and they're not quite there yet, because they just, you know, they just want to make sure that they're, because of their profession and their position and their reputation. But it's getting better. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's people that have spoken, I mean, like Brian Bender, like, you know, Politico's allowed him to do this and he's gotten used to it. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, he helps a lot because, you know, the credibility of his role and Politico, you know, for instance, we've been trying to get Fife Symington to come and speak at the Congress for many years and haven't been able to. Brian gives him a call up last year and mm-hmm. he's like, oh, yeah, of course, I'll talk to you on camera for the Congress. Yeah.
So it allows, right here.
Yeah, sitting right here in the virtual Which are those videos available on YouTube yet?
Yes.
Yeah, so you could go to the UFO Congress YouTube. There's a subscription service and you can watch that. But you can watch Brian and Fife sitting where we are now discussing UFOs. And you know, of course, Fife Symington saw the Phoenix Light. So people like Brian, who are enthusiastic about this, help bring credibility. But yeah, to your point also, there's definitely more people coming forward. What I found really interesting in 2017 when people came forward, we were able to get Elizondo. I think we were the first to have Elizondo. Of course, it ended up being a recorded thing, which I think was good. He would have got swamped at an in-person. But fortunate for me, just because, you know, at Open Minds, we covered things in a journalistic way. Most of these insiders we talk to are familiar with Open Minds. So that goes a long way. That helps a lot, too, because then they know our take. At least my take is a very serious take, and that they can feel more comfortable talking with us.
Yeah. And Lou would have been at the conference. He just had a previous engagement, but he really wanted to make it. So, yeah. And he couldn't have done that a few years ago. So.
Do you both have any moments you're particularly looking forward to at this year's conference? Any highlights that you think are going to stand out for yourselves?
It's funny that you say that, because a lot of times we've got something set up that is unique and different, where it's going to be really revelatory. I think that in this conference, it will, of course, James being there and being able to show his film is extremely exciting, because most people haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. We'll have Randy Nickerson to show his aerial film, and a lot of people haven't seen that. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward, because it's a first in person, and just seeing a lot of people again that we haven't seen for a long time. And that's a big deal. You know, when people are in person, you get to spend a lot of time with same thinking people. And then it's also, and get to know people. So, for example, if you've never seen Ramirez talk and you hear him talk and it's absolutely amazing and blows your mind, you can actually hang out with him afterwards, maybe even go to dinner with him.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing is a lot of fun.
What I'm looking forward to is we're going to have a panel with some of the aerial students now grown up. We're going to have Emily Trim and Liesl, and they're going to be talking with us from where they are on Zoom set, but that's going to be live, and that's going to be the first time that they've done that in front of an audience. So we're very excited about that.
That'll be good. I'll look forward to that as well. And again, I would love to attend one of these events, hopefully next year, if my wife lets me out of the UK. But yeah, that would be exciting. What do you both think the future holds for these events? What would you like to see when it's the 40th annual International UFO Congress?
Wow. Maybe we'll be giving excursions to the Mars or something. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a complete break in events. I think some are going to be more spiritual and more focused on those kind of things. And then one is going to be end up more like spacecrafts and what did they see and when and dates and things like that, because I feel like it's just kind of a big break now. But then I think there'll be some in the middle. Like I think abductions are really important to study right now. And I think the phenomena of ESP and that kind of thing is really important. So it's really difficult, because there's so much opposing, just like even on Twitter, even in the same topic, there's so much opposition. So I don't know. I kind of feel like there might be two different sets of things happening. Maybe I'll have two different conferences. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that, you know, things just have gotten bigger. The percentages haven't changed, and I guess too much. And what I mean by that is, you know, the SCU and the scientific end of thing has been a very small percentage of the people interested in this topic. Mm-hmm. And it's burgeoning. We're getting tons more scientists and engineers and incredible people that are helping out. Mm-hmm. However,
and politicians.
It's still just a fraction of the community overall. And mm-hmm. some of the evidence of that is you look at UFO Twitter and you know, I love a lot of you guys out there, but you're just not getting it. They're just still not looking into kind of the more, I think it's just kind of a ego thing that we know more than you. And they're not listening to mainstream people and politicians and who what they're saying. Everybody wants Roswell, UFO, and the aliens right now, and that's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is moving towards more understanding. And if something like that exists, you know, we'll inch towards something like that. But we've got to do it smart. We've got to not be ham-fisted about it and be a little bit more intelligent about it. So,
And investigate what's happening right now. Get money behind that, you know.
So you have, you know, kind of the very fringe, which is huge, like Ancient Aliens. And I'll be filming them with them next week, so I can't bash Ancient Aliens too much. But that is more fringy, you know, less more speculative. Yeah. And that area is always huge. So that will probably continue to be a huge area. But what's great about the UFO Congress is I think it kind of bridges both sides. You know, we have people like Yvonne Smith who have been investigating experiencer sightings her entire life, you know, right next to a Ramirez or a Bender who are much more, you know, mainstream. So I think that that's what's great about the Congress. And I think as far as the future, we'll see, you know, how much people want to, how many people want to be in that middle ground kind of area.
And the name of the event is the International UFO Congress. So if you ever want to host it in the UK, you know, outside of the US, I'm sure there's an audience that would travel
That'd
for that
be
as
fun.
Well.
I love that. I love the UK has been a huge audience for us at Open Minds. Yeah. And you know what? Some of my favorite researchers are the UK. And of course, with this Calvine stuff that's happened lately, some of the UK researchers have been doing some amazing research. So that would be fun.
They have, and they're all friends of mine as well and part of UAP Media. So very big shout out to them for the work they're doing. Like boots on the ground stuff, like Karen, you're saying, like investigating now and doing that work, and that is still happening. So yeah, big shout out to those guys. Listen, just before we wrap up, there are tickets still available for in-person and virtual. What do you both want to say to people in terms of anyone who might be on the fence of, do I spring for a ticket? Do I go virtual?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll have a great time. Everybody always does. You'll meet people that you can continue to interact with. So, you know, if you feel sort of out there and you believe in it, but none of your friends do or your family, come to one of the conferences or at least buy a virtual ticket and get in there on the WHOVA app and interact with other people and you'll have a great time. And I have a coupon code UFOANDY, all caps, and you can save $30 on a multi-day in-person ticket or a virtual ticket. So there you go. There's a reason to do it.
And what you get with it. So with the virtual ticket, you get access to the WHOVA app. So you can watch the events live. Mm-hmm. You can ask questions and we'll ask the speaker those questions while it's happening live. If you miss the event and you don't see it live, you can pop in there and watch it at any time. And
for
in
up to
fact,
3 weeks.
Yeah, you'll have access to the app for 3 weeks where you'll be able to watch the lectures. I know some of you are nerdy enough like me, well, you'll want to watch them several times and take notes and you'll be able to do that. So you get a really great interactive experience. And then if you're there in person, you get the WHOVA app, but then of course you get the advantage of meeting everybody in person. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much priceless because
you have all their contact information on the app after you meet them.
And you really have a chance, whether you want to or not, you know, to interact with all of these speakers and people that are like-minded. And of course, people do want that experience, but it's a great experience because you just get to meet so many people. And a lot of people sometimes meet a researcher they kind of snickered at or didn't like very much. And all of a sudden, they're in love with this person because they're just a great person and they're hitting it off. And it's really mind expanding for people in that way. So there's a lot you get either way.
No, that's really good to hear, especially for that virtual experience. I know I've got a lot of people in the UK that can't make it out, the flights and all that kind of stuff as well. And if you're in the US and you're not able to travel, but it sounds like you get so much with that virtual experience that you get to speak to people, like you say, that's a big part of it, Karen. So very exciting. And folks, already this will be released straight away, this audio and video. However, if you are on any form of social media, just like and share the post promoting the conference. Remember, there isn't the opportunity, like Karen said, if you type UFO Andy, all caps, and at checkout, you'll save $30 off those tickets. But I will, by the end of September, give away one of those virtual tickets too, and I'll get in touch with Karen and Alejandro to arrange that. So just make sure you like and share the post, folks. As simple as that. And yeah, you can win a ticket to the event. So both of you, I'd like to say thank you very much for taking time to join me. I'm sure you're very busy with only a few weeks now until the event. It is the International UFO Congress 2022 in its 31st year from the 12th of October to the 16th of October. And again, once again, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. You can like, retweet and subscribe. That would all be very much appreciated. The shows are being uploaded onto YouTube as we speak more and more. You can sign up at patreon.com/thatufopodcast to access shows ad-free as well. Please get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, That UFO Podcast. Of course, on Twitter, it's @UFOUAPAM. And again, folks, as always, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a Tic Tac and not quite a saucer. More like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little more. Meditated game of fateful on meta. Can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. And I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I coughed up my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should take care of me. And I don't know what to do because it doesn't really scare me.
Did you know that podcast advertising is way more effective than display advertising? With 67% of listeners remembering brands and 63% making a purchase after hearing them. Whether you want to diversify your ad spend, add a new marketing stream, or test out podcast ads, Zencastr's creator network makes it easy for brands to connect with podcasters. Zencastr's mission is to make podcast advertisements as easy and accessible to business owners as Google or Facebook. Host-read ads like this are the most effective form of podcast advertising. Zencastr works with podcasters to help create unique to them ad spots that create brand awareness and conversion. Zencastr's creator network is the perfect place for you to get into podcast ads and sponsor your favourite creators like me. I've worked with Zencastr now for some time and they truly put the content creators and the listeners at the heart of what they do. As a huge fan of podcasts myself, and I really mean that, I love podcasts, I often buy products or services that I find useful to me based on those pods that I'm listening to. It supports them and there's usually a good discount to go along with it. So if you're interested in sponsoring this show or another podcast with adverts for your business, go to zen.ai/thatufopod1, that's the number one, or click the link in the description and fill out the contact information so Zencastr can help you bring your business story to life.